You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey everyone, welcome to Page to Stage,
a conversation with theater makers.
We're your hosts.
That's Brian.
And that's Mary.
Join us as we focus the spotlight back on the theater maker to uncover their process.
We speak with folks in the industry that often aren't heard from,
such as stage managers, producers, crew members, marketing professionals,
and everything in between. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Hello, everyone. My name is Michelle West. I am currently a swing in Tina, the Tina Turner musical on Broadway, and I'm also a fitness coach and nutrition coach.
Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going good. How are you, Miss Mary?
Good. On your day off, thank you for joining us today.
You're
and actually, welcome. It's not even your day off fully, I'm sure. I'm sure you've got other work you got going on besides just the swing life.
That's very true.
I guess just like for a little background for our listeners. So Michelle and I went to high school together, and I even have some really, really, really great memories of dance class with you. I don't know if you remember that, but
Girl, I remember.
Babies.
I remember, definitely. Maybe yeah. Not everything that you remember, but I remember.
Oh, no, I don't remember a lot. I mean, I think I repressed a lot of high school, if I'm being quite honest. But yeah, no, I do remember those fun moments. And actually, I really wanted to bring this article to have it so we could put it on our show notes. And I'll keep looking, but I wasn't able to find it while preparing for this interview. But I just need everyone listening to know that Michelle is one of like the hardest working people that I know. And not just like within the industry. I just mean like period, like point blank. And there was an interview that you did like a million years ago now with a dance magazine where you were talking about your journey post graduation at Temple and the journey, the quite literal journey you had to take every day from Delaware on the bus to New York, sitting in those open call lines, which I'm sure were, I can't even imagine. When people talk about open call like lines, I'm like, I cannot visualize it.
But then I mean, people are begging
for them again now.
That's very true. It's like such a different time.
That's crazy. Oh, I can't imagine. But then getting on that bus and turning right back around and doing the same thing every day. So like, I know so many people out there that say this about you, but it is so true that you are just like one of the hardest working people. And I am so excited to share a little bit about your process and your story with us today. So thank you.
That was with Answers for Dancers that I did that.
Okay. I did see that article and I was reading it, but for some reason it just wasn't. I'll go back and I'll look at it again. Answers for Dancers.
That was a while ago. And that was like in the beginning of my journey, but that is definitely something that I always try to at least let dancers or performers know that, you know, a lot of people come up to me with a lot of questions about how I got started in the industry or how I, you know, felt like I could just dive in so quickly. And honestly, like, I would just look up all the auditions and I went to the auditions. Like, it wasn't like I knew something different than anybody else. Everything that was there was public knowledge. You know, I just looked on playbill.com. I looked at the auditions. I had a headshot that I took in my backyard. My mom took it for me. And I took the bus to New York City and was there every single day at 6 a.m. in the morning and went to these calls.
I wonder if people who are starting out, maybe, I don't know if you ever felt this way or if you knew anyone that felt this way, that just felt like there was like a secret that they weren't in on and like how to be successful or how to get to that point. And you're just saying, it's just, it is what it is. You have to just get there. You have to do the work and you just have to physically get there.
You have to get in, you have to dive in first. And I always tell people that auditioning is a skill. It's before you get the job, you have to learn how to audition. And the only way to learn how to audition, well, in that time was to go to the calls. So I could ask my friends all day long, all the people that I was around, like how it works, but you don't really know how it works unless you're in it. So they said the same thing to me. They said, go to New York and go try. And that's exactly what I did. And then I got better and better at auditions. And then I started booking. And now I don't really go to auditions anymore, which is a blessing. You know, I do still audition, but it's not the same as how I used to audition 10 years ago, you know?
Right.
So take us back to, is Aladdin the tour of Aladdin the first big production that you were a part of?
Technically, yes, as far as the contract is concerned. That was my first production contract that I did.
Can you tell us the years you were on it, just for some perspective?
Yeah, I was a part of the original company. So I started in 2017, February, and then we ended right before COVID hit, so March 2020.
You guys were cut short because of the pandemic, right?
Correct. And we had already had a closing date for Aladdin because the whole plan was to make the tour smaller. So we were supposed to end April 26, 2020, and we closed March 2020. So we only had 6 weeks left of tour before COVID hit. So we already knew that that was happening. But they just announced last week that Aladdin is going back on tour. I will not be joining the company. I will not be on that tour. But a lot of friends have been reaching out to me about, you know, what they think, you know, just getting my advice about, like, do I think that they're good enough to do the tour? And I'm like, you gotta just go audition because you never know.
I feel like I remember hearing your story with getting into Aladdin was like kind of fun and unique. I mean, it was literally a story of like how people you know and like your work ethic and your personality and just like your kindness and your presence in the space, because you were working on the prom, right? Out of town with Casey.
Yes.
Well, I want to know, and all of our listeners, I'm sure, would love to know, how did it happen?
So this is where I said, like, I don't have to audition as much anymore. This is kind of like a story of that. So I auditioned for the prom, and this was 2016, and I kind of got into that call last minute. One of their girls did not sign to go on to do the out-of-town run. My agent got me an appointment. I went, I auditioned for it, and I remember I was going to Nashville, Tennessee with my mom just to, like, hang out with my mom at Nashville. She wanted a friend to go with, and I was like, I'll go. So I got the audition right before, the day before we were about to leave. And I was like, okay, the audition is tomorrow. So I told my mom, I was like, I got to stay for this call because Casey's going to be in the room. I got to go. And she was like, okay, no problem. I'll go the first day and meet me the next day after you're done. I was like, cool, not a problem. So I went into the call, was in front of Casey, did my dancing, did my singing. Next day, I got on a plane to go because I didn't have, there was no callback after that. And then when I got off the plane, I got an offer to do prom. So I was like, okay, well, prom is happening. And then me and my mom were celebrating in Nashville, which was awesome. And then I did prom, which was in at the Alliance Theater in Atlanta, Georgia. I did the whole first, I guess you could say, first part of that process, because that was, they didn't go to Broadway until 2 years after we did the out-of-town run. So it took a long time for them to go to Broadway. And when I did prom, actually, I remember that this is a crazy story, but we went to the pool one day. It was our day off. We went to the pool because it was like, oh, let's, it's hot. Let's go swimming. Casey was there. Angie Schwar was there. Angie works on a lot of Casey's projects. She was in Broadway prom. And she literally looked at me and was like, Casey, don't you think that Michelle would be good for Aladdin? Mind you, I didn't even know that Aladdin tour was going out or anything. She just said it. And Casey was like, yeah, I actually think she'd be really good for it. So after that, Casey was like, send me your headshot and resume. Great. Awesome. Sent in my headshot and resume. I didn't need to go through with my agent or anything. I literally got a call the next week, was like, Disney's flying you to New York so you can go and audition. So they flew me to New York. I auditioned. I saw a couple of people there that was like some of my homies in the audition world. I went in. I didn't have to dance because I was already dancing a lot in prom. They just wanted to hear me sing. I went back to Atlanta that next week. I got a call saying that I booked Aladdin tour. So I was in the middle of prom. We were almost finished. Like, we were in performances in the middle of prom when I got the offer for Aladdin. So I really didn't have to audition. Like, you asked this to one of my other castmates. They went through 12 rounds of auditions for this show. You asked me, I got flown in by Disney, sang a song, flown back, and I got an offer. So there was really no audition process for me.
I mean, how long was your run in Atlanta? I mean,
three months.
Yeah, I mean, so you were kind of, you could argue that you were auditioning for, you know, 3+ months too.
So I
mean,
that's exactly what I always tell people, that is like your job currently is your audition for your next job, because that same person or people that you're working with, especially if you know that they're well known in the business, AKA Casey Nicholaw is always working on things, you know that he's going to be doing stuff in the future. There's no stopping that man. he just got finished doing 2 workshops back to back that a couple of my friends from Tina just got finished doing. Yeah, it was just like, all right, he knew my work ethic. He knew how I was. I showed up on time. I did my job. I was kind. I was a good person. And then I was able, he said that I was right for the show when he, you know, picked me, and there was 2 other girls who actually joined Aladdin as well. So we were finished at prom. I had a little bit of a break there. I went to go do Wizard of Oz at Walnut Street Theater in Philadelphia. And so I had already knew that I had Aladdin. So I was just filling in that little gap. I went to go do that show. And actually, I got that show from Glenn Casale, who I worked with at Sacramento Music Circus. I didn't audition for Wizard of Oz at all. I just asked him if I could do it. He said yes, and I came into that show. Did that show, and then right after that, I was on tour with Aladdin. So that was like 2 shows back to back that I didn't audition for.
And so once you embark on this tour, first of all, was this a tour that did a lot of sit downs, or was it week to week?
We had a lot of sit downs. Like, it was, we got spoiled.
Some good chunks of time.
Oh, yeah. I was in Chicago for 6 months. I was in LA for 4 months.
Oh, wow.
I was in, all of my sit downs were like over 4 to 6 weeks. Like, that doesn't happen anymore.
And was that the whole 3 years?
Yes.
Wow, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So how do you just adjust your life? How do you prepare your life to go out on tour?
I was actually already used to tour because I had been on 2 tours prior than Aladdin. So my first tour that I went on was Sid the Science Kid Live. And that was a bus and truck Actually, I wouldn't even call it bus and truck. That was like a minivan tour. Like, it wasn't even bus and truck. We had no truck. It was throw all the stuff in the van, drive yourself, let's go.
Get but your clothes, actually, get your own clothes.
That's what it was. So started from the bottom, now we're here situation. That was that. And then my second tour that I did was Memphis the Musical, and that's where I met my husband. And Memphis, that was, we were, there was no really sit downs. I mean, the longest sit down we had on that tour was a week, and that was surprising in itself. So, we were continuously moving. So I had already known about tour life and how tour life worked before I went on the Aladdin tour. The one thing that I will say is different about the Aladdin tour is that it was beautiful to have the sit downs, and I had an opportunity to be able to do more like Airbnbs or sit down with people that I knew in the cities, and I could like be their roommate for a little bit to save an extra dollar or so, you know. That was a little bit different. But as far as tour life, like I remember all of my girlfriends on Aladdin would have like three huge suitcases, their trunks and stuff like that. They're like, we're on tour. And I had one bag and one little bag. And I was like, tour. They were all like, how are you, you know, carrying all your clothes in those two bags? I'm like, I've done tour three times. I already know how this works. I don't like stuff.
Oh, I believe you. Every time I've moved in my life, I've moved so many times. And every time I just like downsize, I'm like, nope, nope, nope.
Oh yeah, no, I did not play that game. So I already kind of knew how tour life worked. And man, I tell you, you don't really learn how tour actually works until you're on those non-union tours and you're doing it all yourself. Like Aladdin was like, okay, this is luxury.
How do you keep saying yes to staying on the tour? I'm sure the money's great. I'm sure the stability, I'm sure the work is great. But 3 years is a long time to be away from New York, to be away from the audition scene, keeping your career going into a different direction. It's the same thing for 3 years. And like, luckily, I mean, not luckily, but like the pandemic was coming anyways. And like, yep. It didn't matter in the end. How do you just keep saying yes to staying on tour?
Each ensemble member signs a 6-month contract. So if you decide to be on tour, unless something is bigger or you decide to leave after your 6 months, then you are tied down for your 6 months. So I don't know about you, but 6 months goes by really, really fast on tour. Like, even if you don't want to say it, like 6 months flies. So after your first 6 months, you're like, all right, well, I guess I'll do another 6 months if I don't have anything lined up. I will say my agent still worked for me when I was on tour. So if I had auditions, I still did self-tapes and auditions. If I needed to fly back, I've flown back for a Tina Turner audition. And now I'm in Tina. So I did that. I didn't get it when I was on the road, but I still flew in for an audition for Tina. I would say that, my first year and a half, that was when I was still seeing my partner. We were boyfriend and girlfriend at the time. And we were like, you know, he's doing his thing, I'm doing my thing. Let's go on tour, do separate things. But I will say that after a year and a half, at that year and a half point, we knew that I was going to be in Arizona. That's where my husband's family is from. So there was a potential for Matt to be able to join the tour with me before Arizona, but we didn't know yet. So right before Arizona, I think we were in Boston, and he can correct me if I'm wrong because he probably listened to me right now. Boston was when we got, right before Boston is when we got the okay that Matt was going to join the tour officially. Our drummer stayed and joined percussion. Our percussionist left, and my husband was now the drummer on the tour. So then we were like, okay, well, if my husband is joining the tour with me, that means two salaries and two per diem. We gonna stay on this tour. So,
and it totally wasn't helps as the hard. Relationship develop too.
We were together.
How does that work? I mean, without getting too personal, can I ask like how touring affects like your relationships, you know, family, friends, partner?
Yeah. I mean, the being on tour specifically, like, we did get to go to the cities where my family was. So we played Philadelphia, which my entire family came to see me in Philadelphia. And then my husband's side of the family all got to see me in Arizona. Thankfully, he was on the tour at that point, because then all of the family got to see him in Aladdin, hear him in Aladdin on the tour. So it just ended up working out that we are both working together, and we were like, this is a perfect setup for us to be able to continue this so that we can buy a house when we go back to New York when we're ready. You know, financially, it just makes the most sense. But for our relationship, I feel like grew through the tour, because we were able to work together and able to build a foundation together on tour. Especially after being apart for so long. I remind you, I've been on one tour and I was doing other regional gigs while we were together. So I've been with Matt for 7 years. 5 of those 7 years, we have usually been doing a long distance relationship. So it was nice to be able to be like, oh, finally we're working together. We're traveling together.
Paid to do it.
We're getting paid to do it together. Like, it makes sense. So let's just keep it. And Matt is what he does. He's a drummer. He's a theater drummer. So he's doing what he loves. So it was great. But as far as like family outside, like, you don't really get to see your family as much. Like, once you're tied down to tour, it's very, very hard to get away from that time unless you're taking a vacation. And most of the time, people don't go and take vacations to their family. They take vacations away.
I thought you were going to say they don't take vacation. I'm like, why?
No, people take vacation. And if you don't take vacation, you're crazy. Like, I would advise everyone to use their vacations. You need it. Take your vacation. It's there for a reason. But no, most of the people are not really taking vacation to visit family. Most of the time, family comes and visits the tour. So we had multiple times where my parents came out and visited me in Chicago at my parents. Then I was in Philly, so my parents were there. I saw them in Matt's parents came to see us in San Francisco because it was close to Arizona. We saw everybody in Arizona. So there were multiple times that we like saw them on the tour. My parents moved to Florida. We're moving to Florida at the same time that I was on tour with Aladdin, and we were ending like in that Florida region. So I got to be with my parents in Florida, and then Matt's parents came to Florida and we all were in Florida. So there was plenty of times that I saw my family.
Oh, that's lucky. That's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, I want to kind of pivot a little bit, because you went from obviously touring with Aladdin to the pandemic hitting, but then you got to make your Broadway debut coming out of the pandemic this year.
Yes.
Or I guess technically was it this year or was it technically last year?
This year.
Well, okay.
Yes, I officially made, oh my gosh, when did I make my Broadway debut? In December? I think it was December.
Okay. Yeah. It was right after Adrian left, I think, right?
September, October. I'm pretty sure that I went
what
on.
What is time? What is
I know,
time?
Right? I don't remember. Like, I've been with the company now for 4 months.
Well, get the date tattooed, okay?
I know, right? Like, I don't remember. I'm like, oh my gosh, when was that?
So what are the roles you cover in Tina right now?
I cover 7 roles. I'm a swing in the show. So all of the female ensemble members or female identifying characters in the show. And specifically, I cover, because Tina is race specific for the cast members, I cover all of the African-American women in the show.
And have you gone on for all of them yet?
I've gone on for 5.
Wow.
And
yeah, I feel like you've gone on so much recently, too. I feel like I'm... Like, were you expecting that? I mean,
once all the people were getting hit with COVID, I knew I was going on. Like, it was no ands, ifs, or buts about that. But this past week actually has been my chillest week. I haven't been on this week, which was like, oh my gosh, I was only on one time. That was crazy. But I'm scheduled on next week, so it's back to work.
Because I was going to ask you, we've only had like one other swing on, and that was like very early on. This mm-hmm. is like two or three years ago now. But I'm curious, because of your experience with going on so frequently, do you feel like you, and I know you have like rehearsals weekly, of course. you love that, it seems like.
Rehearsal all the time.
I'm sure. So like, you're never concerned about like having all of those tracks like in your brain. Is there anything that you're doing to like help that?
Everything is being written down. Everything is recorded. Everything is like in my phone. I go onto my notes. If there's a track that I forget, I go into my notes and I look at it before I go on and make sure that I know what my track is.
So stage manager calls you. What's the first thing you're going to do if they tell you you're on for track two?
The first thing I'm going to do is go over the vocal tracks. That's the first thing I'll go over vocally, because specifically in Tina, all of the iCats that go on, there's a lot of like three-part harmonies that we have to sing. So whatever track is out is the harmony that you need to be able to sing when you go on. So it's not like other shows where you can just be like, oh, I'm falling into the soprano line or I'm falling into the alto line. No, you either sing top, middle, or bottom. And if you don't sing it, you know that someone is not right and it's probably the swing. Because, you know, it's like we don't do it every day. So we have to make sure that we're on. So that's the first thing that I do is make sure that I sing through or go through the track vocally of what I need to make sure that I'm on. And then I will go through my tracking sheet and make sure that, okay, act one, I get this part. I come on from stage left. I'm on from stage right. This time I'm getting on this costume to go from here. So that's the stuff that kind of like goes through my brain before.
And I'm guessing with like as an ensemble track, it's not like you have a dresser there to help you walk you through everything the way that like if a principal was going on, they would
have. We technically do.
You have, we like, do. But it's they cover all the ensemble, right?
Yes. It's not like one specific dresser.
It's not like somebody's babysitting you that night.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. But I'm sure you guys
are
all nice.
But they will say like backstage, if I was like looking around like, oh, do I get my wig on this side or that side? They'll be like, that side. I'm like, okay, thanks. So it's like little stuff like that that we still make sure that we're good on.
That's nice. I'm sure that has like a built-in support system because I'm sure everyone knows. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Even if you've been a swing in your career or you have not, whether that's a performer swing or a crew swing, everyone understands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They know you haven't been on it for that track in forever. So they'll be like, other side.
Would you say that you learn your – because this was your first time as a swing? Like Broadway or not Broadway, right? Okay. So were you expecting to learn the tracks by like doing them, or are you more of like a visual learner? Like you're able to just watch from the sidelines and kind of gather everything you need?
Watching the show and seeing where that person goes on and off is very, very helpful. Like they always suggest doing that first. And then you have to shadow the person right before you go on. So there's two more tracks that I need to shadow before I do them, or it would be beneficial to me. Like it's not like I have to, but it would be beneficial. But I will say that it's better for me to physically go through the show or go through the track before I go on, because then once you have it physically in your body, it's easier to like then go on and fall into the track.
Now, you were pretty lucky having that rehearsal period of Broadway's return.
Yes.
It's not like you just replaced into a swing role and had to do your own rehearsal process. You got to watch everybody else go back into rehearsal.
I did. I was in the rehearsal room the last week that Tina was in rehearsals at New 42. So I was in rehearsals at the same time as them.
When did you book it? At what point did you know you were going to go in?
There was a Friday in September. My first day was September 27th. So I booked it on a Friday and I was in the room in rehearsal on a Monday.
Wow.
Very fast.
Literally. They were like, can you do it or no?
You were like, absolutely.
I was like, sure. Weekend. Sounds great.
This is interesting. I don't know if we're ready to pivot to this fully yet, but during the pandemic, I mean, obviously you rapped with Aladdin, but then and you were starting to work out a bunch. I remember seeing on tour, but you really took the pandemic as the opportunity to pivot like so many of us did into a fitness business now, or a fitness empire, as I like to say. That's where I definitely see you headed. I mean, I see it. I see it for you. And you really fully embraced. I mean, I remember when you announced you were getting certified as a personal trainer. But could you talk to us about that pivot and like, were you really like ready when the Broadway debut came knocking? Like, was that something that you were like, yes, or were you like actually hesitating?
Oh, no, I was ready for the Broadway debut for sure. Like, I was definitely like once Broadway comes back, then I will definitely take a break from PT, which I was working at a big box gym. I was working at 24 Hour Fitness after I got my certification. So right after I got my cert, I started working there. And doing one-on-one personal training was good. I had some really good clients that I liked working with, but it definitely like was not my passion. Like it wasn't like something that I was like, I'm going to do this forever. I was like, eh, this is okay. So once I got Goddess, this was like, actually, I actually ended up leaving personal training early because I started seeing audition comes back, coming back. And I was just being smart. And I told them, I told my bosses at 24, like, once I start seeing this, I'm leaving. And they were, honestly, it came back faster than what we, anybody was really expecting, to be honest. Like, I was just like, oh, well, auditions are coming back. I'll see you guys later. And they were like, no, don't leave. So honestly, that was the best move for me because I took it was 2 weeks maybe that I was like free. And then right after that 2 weeks, that's when I booked Goddess and I was back in the room doing Goddess for 4 weeks.
And Goddess was a workshop, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
So I did that workshop. It was excellent. And then so I was kind of seeing where I fit in the fitness world versus where I wanted to be in theater. And now I'm kind of figuring that out more now that I like being the online fitness coach. I like doing the coaching side. I like being on the nutrition side to help people in that way. And also I'm able to balance my business while being a swing on Broadway because doing two things can be a lot. But I do have some time to be able to dedicate when I'm not on to the business, which is great. So also, I'm like filming YouTube content. I'm making sure that I'm, you know, staying on top of all of those things while I'm doing Broadway at the same time. So,
and we're going to link your YouTube channel in our show notes because the videos that, I mean, I'm very biased, but like, but like, because Matt like films and edits all of your videos, right?
Yep. So we both did kind of a pivot during the pandemic because my husband learned how to do all of that filming and editing during the pandemic.
Wow. Oh, I thought he already knew. Oh, I didn't realize that it was that he self-taught during the pandemic.
Self-taught.
Wow. I mean, then it kind of worked out because then you got to do it for your wedding.
Yep. And then we got married on Zoom. And then my husband did all the production.
With like a 15 camera. That was impressive. So
thanks. It was wild. It ended up working out. But he's so like attentive to that stuff. Like he's still on top of it. He's such a student. Like at the end of the day, like he loves to learn new things. So he's great. And now we're able to work as a team on our YouTube channel and, you know, build that. And also he helps me with my with the business side of my fitness business as well. So it's great. It's great to work with as a team together.
I feel like you're able to like balance. Like I'm curious as to how you balance everything that you have going on now that like you're on Broadway and it's running and it hasn't been like shutting down or anything. Thank goodness. I mean, it's definitely nice to have the like the digital online aspects. You're not having to go meet anyone in person. There is definitely some flexibility. But I'm sure that you're like in your dressing room like building out like workout plans or like, you know, planning out videos or whatever it is. Is that what it's like for you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I also like make sure that I'm on a schedule, and a lot of people don't keep schedules, but I am scheduled down. Okay. Like I am okay. Looking at my schedule and my theater schedule, I'm like, okay, I got this, 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 and this, or the today I can work on making some scripts for YouTube. Next day, okay, I got rehearsal during the day. I got client check-ins on Monday. Okay, make sure. So I'm like, everything is written down, making sure that I have a schedule, making sure that I'm on top of it, and giving myself a day off. Then my Mondays, I actually am working because like those are my check-in days with my clients. So I'm making sure that I'm like on for them, giving them the guidance, checking in with them every single week. And yeah, it's going great so far. Everything's going great so far. We're going to knock on wood that I have right into the time. Exactly. Exactly. So it's working out.
But you're working actually on your day off, like on your like Broadway day off, like you are still like hustling. So do you like, how do you find, or where do you find the time to like, do you actually get like a full day off of everything?
Technically, no, because if I call Sundays my day off, Sunday is like, to be honest, I'm really rarely on Sundays. Those are usually a day that I'm like not on the show, knock on wood. So I will do client stuff during the show. And then after the show, I'm like, shut down. Okay, turn off the computer. This is my time to like hang out with my husband, hang out with my dog, do the things. And then Monday, it's like, okay, here we go. Back into the week. So I would say I give myself like a half day off. But that's what you, I mean, it's okay. Like, it's kind of, I enjoy what I do. So it doesn't feel like, oh my God, this is work. It doesn't feel tedious to me. I really enjoy the giving people knowledge. I really enjoy helping people. So I don't really take it as like a, oh my gosh, I'm like on a computer every single day. I just take it as like, oh, I just got to check in with my clients today. And that's cool.
Does one feed the other?
Yes, for sure. I feel as though that I felt the strongest in my career with having this on the side, if that makes sense. Like there's another purpose. There's another thing that's keeping me or driving me instead of just Broadway, instead of just, oh my God, like thinking about the next job or thinking about the next audition that I have to go to. It's crazy to say, but like I don't stress about that stuff anymore because I'm thinking about how I'm going to build my business. And I think it's important to have something that you feel strongly about and care about a lot that's other than performing. When the show closes and it's inevitable, we have to be realistic that I don't have any control over Tina Turner the musical. The producers do. So any day, I don't care what nobody says. I don't care what my stage manager says. I don't care what my company manager says. If a producer comes in and says, your show is closed, guess what? You won't got a paycheck the next day. Your show is closed. So that is something that I'm just like, okay, well, my show's closed. Now I don't feel stressed about that because guess what? I have something that's my own that I created on my own throughout this pandemic. And I'm also creating it while I'm doing this job at the same time. So I guess there is kind of a security, regardless if it's like, oh, making the same exact paycheck that I was on Broadway or whatever. I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about, you know, making sure that I have something that I can call my own that I can fall back on and that I'm not stressed about, oh my God, I got to find the next audition. I got to find the next thing. I was doing that all in my 20s. I don't need to do that no more. those days are over.
I feel this so much. So much. Oh my God. Cause
why stress about it no more? Like yeah. I just can't. And also I've put myself in the positions, all of the work that I've done and all of the things that you've seen me do throughout my 20s, all those articles, all that stuff that all these are casting agents, all of these people that I put myself in the room for, I did that for a reason so that I don't have to stress about that 10 years later, you know? So it's like now when my agents put me in the room or like submit me to stuff, guess what the casting agents say? Oh yeah, we'll let Michelle come in because she's great. We love working with her. You know what I mean? Like that's what I want from people. And you know, that's what I've created over these past 10 years in this business. So why do I need to worry about that anymore? There's no need to worry. Telsey knows my name. Stuart Whitley knows my name. Any casting agent knows who I am. They know what I do well. They call me in. And if I'm right for the job, I'm right for it. If I'm not, I'm not. Guess what? They'll call me in for the next one. Don't have to struggle.
I thoroughly love everything you were just saying. And as you were talking, I was like, you've always been this way to me of just like being confident and being so sure of who you are, no matter, I mean, maybe that's how you were presenting yourself. So whether you felt like that or not your entire life since I've known you since we were kids or not. But so where does that come from? Like, how do you stay so grounded, but yet you're so certain of like what you bring to the table and you know that if it's not right, it's not right? Because like I've definitely like when I was younger, I definitely struggled with that. I'm sure many of our listeners, maybe you have even too. But like I'm curious as to like where that came from for you?
I have. I definitely would say, like, coming back into the business at the first time was definitely like, who am I? What am I doing? I'm discovering myself. I have to discover what this world is, because I didn't come from a musical theater background. I didn't go to college for musical theater. I went to college for dance. I was doing modern dance, rolling on the floor. Like, that's what I was doing. Like, let's just be honest. That's what I was doing. So
I was still rolling on the floor going to school for acting. So,
you know what I mean? Like, we was doing all the different stuff. So I was like, okay. So, like, I had to learn all of that stuff by myself. And then coming into the business, I think that I was a little bit trying to, like, be something that I'm not. And then once I discovered that, no, just be Michelle, just be you, that's when everything turned around. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna just be who I am. I'm gonna just go in a room and present me. There's no other Michelle West. So let's just be Michelle West. And that's when I started booking jobs. That's when I started getting gigs. And I will say that being a Black woman, being an African-American woman, there's a difference between the fight that you have to go through versus being 10 years ago, there was a fight, like, being in this business. Like, I was literally the only Black girl out of, like, maybe two Black girls in the room fighting for the one spot. And me and the Black girl will look at each other and be like, it's either me or you, because there's no other room for us in this. Okay. So when I talk to a lot of my, colleagues, Caucasian or white colleagues that are, who think about, oh, well, I just have to be this. I have to be this. I can't think about just being myself, because I'm always just trying to fight to be in the room. I'm like, what if you never had the opportunity to ever think about, like, if you were going to get this spot or not? Because you always had the opportunity that you were going to get this spot, because there's 10 spots for you. Me, I have to fight every single time, because I know most of the time out of 100 auditions that I go to, I'm going to get one. Yes, one. And it has nothing to do with my talent. It has everything to do with my race and who they want to hire at that one time. So to me, the adversity that I've gone through in this business has put me in the space to be like, I've already dealt with this. I already know the no's are going to come. I already know how it's going to be like, So now it's a time where more Black people are being represented on Broadway. More people, I've had to be myself. So what's the difference between then being yourself then and being yourself now? Now I'm actually being myself and actually getting into the room and actually getting the call. And actually getting 99 yeses out of one no. That's very different than what 10 years ago was bringing. So why do I need to fight? There's no reason for me to fight about that no more. I know what I give. I know what I bring. That's the adversity that I had to go through. It's great. Like, live my life. And if the pendulum swings the other way again, which it will, let's be honest, it probably will, that's fine, because it's that time for those, whomever that time is for. Okay, let them have it. That's fine. It's not mine. It's the producers. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not based off of me. Right. Why do I don't have the power to be able to make the pendulum swing.
Relinquishing like the control. You're doing your thing, and it's not up to you.
No.
It's not up to you.
No. It's not up to me.
And that's so many jobs. It's not even just a theater related thing,
No,
there's
everything.
So much that's not up to you.
It's not up to me.
Well, that's why you got to start your own business.
Guess what's up to me?
Yep.
Guess what's up to me?
Your own business.
Shelly West.
Your empire.
Fitness coach. That's mine.
Ugh, I love
that. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I don't know if it's just my bubble currently, but I feel like so many people that I know are talking about looking at the passive income coming out of the pandemic, of like not just like having to hustle all the time. Like, yes, that's important, but trying to, first of all, diversify your income for what you were saying earlier, Michelle, of like, you don't know what, like, what's going to happen. You don't know when the shoe's going to drop. So you might as well diversify your income now so you're prepared for that, you know, rainy day or whatever you want to call it.
And again, that's not just theater too. So I love when we talk about things that are just not just theater centric.
Yeah, that are like real life things.
People don't, you know, they're like, oh, that's an artist problem. That's like a mm-hmm. theater, like that's the life you chose. And it's like, your industry can also, you mm-hmm. know, you can also benefit from hearing these things.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So that's what I think about. And I'm just very proud of myself, and I'm proud of other artists who are not having to feel like they have to do the hustle anymore, or like fight. Okay, I can understand, you know, like I'm in a room with Tina with, you know, some 27-year-olds who are like, oh my God, I got it right. The next audition. Like I'm in a room with them. Like I get it. I understand. But I'm not at that point in my career no more. I don't need to do that. Like, the one thing that I will say is that the more that they keep talking in the dressing room, the more that I know about the audition. And I'm just going to call my agent and be like, hey, well, guess what? I know the audition now. Go ahead and get me in for that. And then if they get me in, they get me in. If they don't, they don't. But guess what? I just heard your whole conversation and I'm not stressing about it.
That's so good. It's so funny.
Do you think that that's like, I'm trying to think, is that like a pandemic mindset? Like, is that something that you kind of like picked up over the last like 2 years? Like,
heck yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because I was kind of wondering that.
I would say so. I would say so. I guess we'll never know if the pandemic never happened, like what that would actually be and if I would have that same mindset. But I will say that I definitely have set myself up for getting into the rooms that I need to be in the rooms for. And there was during the pandemic and going back into auditions, I will say that I was the least bit worried because I had set myself up this whole pandemic to be able to be successful. And I just was like, you know what? I'm gonna audition for these things. And if they come, they come. And guess what? I was turning down things. So I was like,
That's crazy. It's like that thing that I've heard, like maybe a few people say this over, like, and it always feels so cliche of like, you know, it's when you're not like dying for the opportunity. Correct. That it then comes to you. And it feels Correct. So frustrating to hear that in the moment, I'm sure, because it's like that whole control thing of like people really want to be able to control their destiny. They want to control the outcome of a situation. And it's like, you know, you kind of just have to relinquish. You have to just let it go. And then, you know, when you're not thinking about
it. It's so true. I mean, like, I literally went into, I've auditioned for Tina three times before I got the audition that to go into the show, to like book the show. The last audition that I had was right before I did Goddess. And then I had to make a decision. I would have had to make a decision. Had I booked Tina, I would have had to make a decision whether I wanted to do either of the two. When I went into that audition, I was like, I'm coming in here booking this. That was my attitude. Like, I was like, y'all have already seen me three times. Y'all know that I'm right for the show. Let me just come in here and do what I do best. Be me.
Because they're not asking you to see if you're talented at that point. They're just seeing if you fit in the puzzle at that moment.
At that point, it's just seeing if you fit in the puzzle. And guess what? After I did that audition, I didn't book it. I didn't fit in the puzzle. They gave it to somebody else. And guess what I said? I said, you guys, I'm not auditioning for this no more. Y'all go ahead and make your decision after y'all. It's the truth.
I've done the whole show for you now. No.
I've done it. Like, y'all know what I bring. Whenever y'all are ready, then go ahead and, you know, let me know that you're ready. And guess what? 2 weeks later, I got a call. And they asked me. So I didn't have to audition again. I gave everything that I gave in that room. There's literally nothing else that you could have seen.
Yeah. Go watch the tapes.
Go watch the tape again. I'm ready. Like, y'all know I'm ready. So, and it's great. And I love being a part of the show. I love being a part of it. But, you know, I had to set that precedent. I had to set that standard to be like, look, whenever y'all ready, I'm ready.
and they were ready.
And they were ready.
And you were ready. And it worked
and
out.
And I was ready. Here we are. In Tina the Tina Turner musical.
Oh, my God. Do you enjoy swinging? Could you see yourself doing that? Not forever, but like, could you see yourself doing that more often and for more shows?
Actually, yes, because the way that the setup is, I didn't think that I would think this at first, but the way that the setup is, it actually kind of works well with what I do as far as like my fitness thing on the side, because I have some time to be able to focus on that. If I was an ensemble member in another show, I guess I would just I would still be able to have the time because I wouldn't be as much rehearsal. So maybe my day would be flipped in a way. So at the end of the day, like, would I still have time? Yes. But I will say that I am interested in like looking at shows where I could be more do more principal work now, because I have done ensemble work for a very long time. People know me as the ensemble girl, but you know, I can sing too. I can sing too. So, you know, why not explore that?
Honestly, like, speaking of singing in that show, it's cruel at the end of the show for you guys to put on a whole fucking concert after a three-hour show.
The mega mix.
I think it's probably one of the most cruel things I've seen on a stage in the past couple of years.
It's so
I haven't
funny.
Seen it. I haven't seen it. Don't
No,
don't
it's
spoil.
Literally just like it's just another concert.
Yeah.
You just saw a 3-hour show. Now they're going to do a concert for you.
As if it's so easy.
The energy is just, they shouldn't have that much energy at that point.
The mega mix. Oh, the mega mix. I mean, it's great because people are like out of the chairs, like we're screaming and dancing at that point. So that like is like the second wind that you get. But also it's just like, oh man, we did just do this 3-hour show. Here we go. Mega mix. 3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah. Mary, can we move into our lightning round?
Yes, let's do it.
Oh gosh. I mean, hit me with the lightning round.
This is now the mega mix.
This is the mega mix.
Oh my
this
goodness.
This is the mega mix. You ready?
You know what? People always do this to me. I'm like, oh God, I wasn't prepared for the lightning round.
No, it's not really lightning. Like you could take as long as you need to answer them. We're just not gonna expand upon your answers. So
yeah, great.
Kick us off, Mary.
What is one thing in the theater industry that confuses you?
One thing in the theater industry that confuses me is why I don't have access to the auditions that my agents have access to. I would like to see everything too.
That's
why do
one.
They have, you know what I mean? Like, there was even an audition that I had to be like, hey, did y'all submit me to this? And they were like, we didn't get a breakdown. I was like, people are getting called in for this. So how come I didn't know? And they were like, I didn't know. Why is that a secret?
What are three adjectives that describe your ideal working environment?
Productive, loving, and diverse.
Is there something in your process that you find unique to you?
I think so. I think that would have to be my like working out and making sure that I'm staying strong. A lot of people don't do that, and I'm like in the gym like 4 times a week and making sure that I'm meal prepping and doing all that stuff. Like, if it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for my fitness journey, if it wasn't for, you know, my nutrition knowledge, all of that stuff, like, I don't feel like I would feel like the same person that I did before. I feel like a completely different person, and I feel just so ready to do my show. There's nothing holding me back from my show, and there's nothing holding me back from, like, my energy in life. And that has changed immensely since my fitness journey has become a part of my life.
What's one job in the theater industry that you would trade jobs with for 1 week?
Probably hair, the wigs people, because I want to learn how to do my hair like they know how to do hair. It's like one thing that I just am like, oh my gosh, like my hair is like one dimensional. If I could learn how to put some effort into this hair, then I would be like on top of the world. But I just don't got the time. I don't got the time.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. What is one hobby you have outside of theater?
Besides working out and going to the gym, bowling. Ooh. Mary, you know that I'm a bowler, right?
No, I don't think I did.
Oh my gosh, yes. That's like my favorite pastime. I love to bowl. I haven't bowled in a long time, but like my average bowl is like 215.
Well, who wants to put on bowling shoes anymore?
That's why you buy your own. You, I have my own. I have my own
bowl.
Oh,
she's serious.
I got my
okay,
own
so she
shoes.
Really does so like bowling. Yeah, like, she's yeah. a bowler.
Yeah, it's on another level. Like, it's really nerdy, but I love to bowl. That's like my favorite thing.
That's fun. Oh, I want something like, I want a hobby like that.
Mm-hmm. I need to go back to it. Honestly, really, when I heard that Broadway had a Broadway bowling league yeah. before the pandemic, I was like, that's the only reason why I want to be on Broadway is because I want to be a part of the Broadway bowling league. And I have to have the Broadway credit to be a part of that. So, but now it's not even happening because of COVID. I hope it comes back. That's my
one
only
day.
Goal.
One
it
day.
Will. It will. Put it out there. Put it out there. It will
I'll
come
start
back.
It up.
And our President. Last question is, what is the last great piece of theater that you saw?
Oh.
You probably don't see anything right now.
Oh, no. MJ the Musical.
Oh.
MJ.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
That's the last one that I saw. Oh, and then for Colored Man. Oh, Thoughts of a Colored Man was really, really good.
Mm.
Those two right now. Those were the top of the list. But before Thoughts of a Colored Man closed, that was probably the best theater that I've seen for a very, very long time. And I really liked that show.
Well, how can our listeners find you on social? What's your website? Plug it off.
Hey.
Plug it off.
My social media is at Shelly West. Everybody's like, is it Shelly or Shelly? It's Shelly. C-H-E-L-L-E-Y West, W-E-S-T. So Shelly West. And my... You can go onto my website. There's not much there, but if you want a free workout, there's some free workouts on there. That's
and they are they are something. Let me tell you,
there's some good ones on there. So that's my YouTube channel. that's www.michellewest.net. If you go there, and then my YouTube is like my biggest thing that I would love everybody to just go on and subscribe and go leave a comment or watch a video. My YouTube is youtube.com/michellewestimi. IMI stands for Inform, Motivate, Inspire, but we're changing that up a little bit, but it's IMI for now.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, Mary's been wanting to have you on the podcast for so long, and you were just a bundle of energy and joy.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that. It probably is the coffee. The 5 p.m. coffee, now 7 p.m. But, you know, no, I appreciate y'all, and thank you so much for what you do, and thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks everyone for listening to this episode of Page to Stage. To keep up with us, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Page to Stage Podcast.
And if you're enjoying these conversations, we would really appreciate it if you could take a couple minutes to rate and review us wherever you're listening to this podcast. Until next time.
That's Brian.
That's Mary.
We'll see you later.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org, because only together we rise.